Helena Carlson, number 2.
Mother, can I
have some more jelly? 119.2A. Nap together. Alright. Okay, now, did they have these literaries regularly?
Yes, they did. They looked forward to them and they prepared for them. But just how often, I can't remember how often they had them during the school or during the winter season mainly, because they didn't have other things particularly to do, but in the summer they had picnics, or whole community picnics, and played baseball. They had a great deal of fun over their baseball, and they really had cheering crowds for that. Threw on the big feeds and had the ice cream and the works for it, too. So it was something to look forward to.
This would be at the school.
Well, the picnics, they'd have them out in a picnic area. They didn't necessarily have their picnic at school, not during the summer. But their literaries they had in school because they had no place else to have those. That would be big enough to hold a crowd.
Yeah, and all ages came. The whole
old, young, the works. If the kids were too small to take part, they put them to sleep in the corner on the blanket. And they enjoyed it, but most of them enjoyed it a great deal. Then later, after they didn't have the regular literaries, they used to get together and played one of the most interesting games that they had, I guess, was rook. They were rook fiends for quite a long time. They'd get together and they'd even have their potlucks for that too, and they'd meet in homes that were big enough. They'd have a crowd come in and play rook or pit or flinch.
Oh, I thought all those games were new, but they're old, huh?
Yeah, I remember when I was 21 years old, my mother gave me a coming out party for my 21st birthday, and we had just loads of fun at that game. They had active games as well as, we used to play charades quite a bit, and I remember that everybody took a hold of hands and went. Our rooms were arranged so they could make a circle clear around through the hole downstairs. And I can't just exactly remember what the game was they were playing, but I remember circling through the living room, dining room, kitchen, and bedroom, making a circle around there, singing, I think. Some singing game.
Was a coming out party?
For my 21st birthday.
Did they all do that around here, or was this something that your mother...
The rest of them did. No, I don't think so, but that was one thing that they did for me that made me very happy. I don't even remember having had a real party before.
No birthday party, huh?
I don't recall particularly, no. But then, of course, we always had our birthdays meant a great deal to us. Mother always fixed up birthday cakes, so we had a treat and everything like that. But to actually invite people in, I don't recall. That didn't seem to make an impression on my mind. That 21st birthday, I remember, because there were a lot of young people there and we just had a lot of fun. And that made quite an impression on me. All of us, we thought that was lots of fun. I can marvel at her, at my mother anyway. I marveled at all the women in those days. They had so much to do, and they worked outdoors and indoors, and they had no equipment like they do now to make it easy to work with. And yet, so help me. It seemed to me like they never missed an opportunity. When I went away to school, I could feel free to bring home anyone to spend the weekend, and graciously and well taken in. We're just that way. I can't quite figure that out, how it could be done, because now I think I'd have to have a week's notice.
Can I use your telephone again? Oh, yeah.
And another thing, we had so much enjoyment as a family, and I think all of them did in those days, too. As children, I can remember, even though we had our duties to perform and we had to work, or yes, we like to work. I put a big question mark on that part of the time we like to work. But most of the time we had to, whether we liked to or not, let's say. But we'd go out for picnics as a family. We'd go take our picnic and go out and out in the, either in our place, or we'd get in the rig and we'd go to some place where there's a nice picnic area and we'd take our food along. And some of the pleasantest things I can remember when I was growing up were the picnics, suppers, and dinners that we took out.
Just alone, as
just
a family?
Just as a family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if anybody came, well, practically always we'd plan a picnic someplace. And my mother, there again, every holiday was well remembered. I marveled how she could always come up with something new. Like at Christmas, she'd have some different decoration or some special treat at the dinner. And Thanksgiving was a big day. And I'm sure that all the birthdays were too. We had cakes all decorated and everything, so to make it quite a memorable occasion. And I just wish I had some of the ability that these women at that day had, that they could do all these things and make happy memories for their children. And I know there were some of the families would get along better than others, perhaps, and they'd get together. They were quite congenial. I remember there was one family out there especially that my mother and this other lady were special friends, and the families were often together. And we'd meet at their house or our house, and probably have a picnic or get together for some social affair. And that was real fun. Then maybe you'd like to know another stunt that the kids did in school, though. They weren't all deadheads, believe
sure.
me.
Oh, okay.
This I found out from some others when we were talking about it. This shed that was built on the back of the school out there at that time, the kids would climb up on there, and one time at least, I recall, they got up during winter and stuffed the chimney full of snow so it wouldn't draw. And there was about 30 feet of pipe on the inside of the schoolhouse because the stove was at one end and the chimney was at the other end, and this chimney or the stovepipe ran the full length underneath the ceiling from the stove to the chimney. And so
in the schoolroom?
Yes, mm-hmm. In the schoolroom, and it was held up by wires, you know, mm-hmm. to the ceiling. Well, when they stuffed the chimney on top of the roof plumb full of snow, you can guess what happened. There was no draft down in there, and so we all got smoked out in good shape. And as the snow melted, why, there was a big fat drip all the way along every joint in the stovepipe. The teacher, naturally, was very unhappy. I don't recall which teacher that was, but if she's still living, I bet she remembers it.
Yeah, all had to go out in the snow.
Had to melt the snow if they could get it out. I imagine they probably had to take the stovepipe down, clean it out. I'm sure they did. But that was one of the joys. I didn't exactly tell that game about pump and pull away. I got to thinking about that. I had that mixed up with another one. Pump and pull away, they had all the kids line up on one side, and one was it, stood halfway down between that and the other end of the field for their play area. And he'd get out there and he'd say, pump, pump, pull away, or if you don't come, I'll pull you away. And then they'd run and he'd try to catch one. And as he'd catch them, he'd try to catch them. And of course, then the two would catch until they'd try to come all caught before they could get. And the last one that didn't get caught, of course, was the champion runner. That was one of the games that they played, and I haven't seen that played in years.
Mm. Did you ever hear it called by any other name?
No. Don't think I have.
Okay.
Nor just to play just exactly like they did, mm-hmm. but they played that. They played it every day, every recess. I'm sure every time they turned around. And of course they had like the steel sticks and
and things like that too, but this other one was that, played that way.
Mm-hmm.
No bad.
Okay, well, I wanted to ask some things about the literary. And you said that they didn't happen every week or
no,
in the
I'm
winter?
No, I'm sure it wasn't that often. It seems like they probably would have them every 2 weeks, though. Or I'm quite sure they did every 2 weeks or at least once a month. But it seems to me like they had them oftener because they so thoroughly enjoyed them. But it did take time to work up a program, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And because sometimes they'd put on a kind of a play. They'd have short plays. Or they'd try to get up a paper on the community. That's the one I wanted to show you, and I can't find it. But they'd have quite a wild name on their paper, some kind of a gossip sheet, and they'd try to get, supposed to have a drive on everybody in the community.
Ah.
Would get caught in the paper, naturally, so it was quite fun. And I suppose about everyone rather enjoyed having their name in. They'd have to have quite a drive on them, but they didn't mind. They never did any unkind things. They didn't say anything unkind.
Did they type it up or did they have it printed? Or
no, they just write them out.
They just write them
print out. Well, this one apparently was typed up, so if somebody had a typewriter, they typed them, otherwise they were written freehand.
Did they make one copy or one for every family?
Just one copy.
Just one copy.
Yeah.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. And the one that was in charge of it, the editor, would do that one, and then they'd read the paper as a part of the program.
I see.
Now, when we had one, Ed and I did one together, my husband and I did one together. He was the editor and I was the editress. or somebody else in the community would write it up.
See, were you married then? Or?
No. No, I wasn't.
I wanted to ask you about the different types of things that couples did as part of courting, you know, because now you have dating and kids go to movies together and things like this. What did they do back then? Was it just these literaries and then they would?
Some of the communities, they had dances and they had, they had buggies. They take a courting, go for a buggy ride.
Mm.
And I guess I might think of my own experience. We played, they did a lot of that. They didn't do so much just single couples. Seemed like they did more the double dates and things of that kind. They'd get together and maybe play rook or something there. And they probably, if they wanted to be a little more, have a little more privacy, they take their date and go for a buggy ride, or if they had a car, they took them in a car. I believe. Let me see. I think we had a car when we did. But I remember we sat and I don't know if we did jigsaws or what was. I can't even recall. But night after night, Ed called at the Dragstead home, and we sat around the table.
That's the place where you were boarding. When you were teaching.
Mm-hmm. That was when I was in school. But
it needed to be well chaperoned, or?
Well, yeah, they were chaperoned. I don't know if it was necessary. Most of them, though, they had, I think they were more closely chaperoned than they definitely are now, that's for sure.
Because I would imagine at the literaries, you know, that mm-hmm. with everyone around watching.
I know they'd get quite a kick out of the girls brought baskets. Why, then they chortle gaily, you know, if the boyfriend was wanting the basket from the girl, and they were supposed to keep it secret so they wouldn't know whose it was. But they some way or other usually got out, I think. So they knew whose basket they were bidding for, and they'd run them up pretty high. Some of them would have to really pay for the basket that their girl had brought. And of course, that was always fun. And I know some of them, Well, it seemed like they did their spooning, right? Even when they had a crowd like that, why they'd sashay around together. And when they'd play their games, why, of course, it was a couple that was interested in each other. Were the couple, well, the couples we played last couple out, too. That was another game that the young people all played then. That was, they paired up. You take your date and line up, and they have a big long line, and somebody'd stand in front with their back turned. They say, last couple out, you know, and then they'd run around, and the one that was it would try to catch one and break up the couple.
Oh.
And the one that didn't get caught would have to be it. That was one they played, I know. And then they had, oh, various games that they seemed to enjoy a great deal. I don't it's kind of hard to go back because I was quite a, when we played, a lot of our games were outdoors. And I know they had the baseball, and the boys played the baseball. I don't remember the girls joining in. We sat by the wayside and cheered, but I don't remember the girls playing baseball like they do now. It was the men, maybe the men against the boys or something like that. And they usually, when they'd have these big picnics, why, well, then that, one of the big affairs was their baseball game. That was the big event of the season. And they'd have drinks. About the first time I ever remember pop was, they had pop at one of them. And I remember one of the old bachelors there bought us each a cream, what is it, cream pop?
Cream soda.
Cream soda. First time I'd ever had one that I know of, and it was so delicious. There, and they'd have ice cream, homemade ice cream, dish it up, they have that. And of course they'd always, I think most of them, had a last day school picnic. And of course, just a lot of it, even in a way, now that's getting outdated though, isn't it? They're kind of doing away from that, I think. They take the kids out on a picnic, but then it was the whole community turned out. Men, women, kids and all. They'd have their big picnic, dinner, ice cream.
So a lot of it centered around food.
Mm-hmm. And of course they'd have their baseball game. Mm-hmm. And fun.
On these literary evenings, did they go to a certain hour, or did they run all night, or?
No, they were reasonably early. I wouldn't have gotten in on that, because my father was no hand to stay out late.
Mm.
Yeah, they would have it. It would probably be for an hour, maybe 2 hours, they'd get together. I can't even recall having food, but I suppose they did. That seemed to have been one of the least worries in my mind. I can't recall if they did, but I'm sure they must have had refreshments, beyond a doubt they did. Seems like they must have.
Mm-hmm.
But then they'd have the literary and the program, and then they'd shove the seats back, and quite often in the communities, then they'd have old-fashioned dancing afterward. Mm-hmm. And of course, that I never took in. I couldn't tell you what they did.
Did you?
We left.
Did you get to do things like Virginia Reel? And
no.
Not even those?
No.
That was considered dancing then.
When the literary was over, the Cartwrights went home.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No, I got it to take in those afterward, though, because mm-hmm. some of the communities, one community I went to, if I hadn't have taken part in that part of it, I would have had no social life whatever, because all they did, all they were interested in was cards and dancing.
Mm.
So I did a little bit of both. And when I went to normal school, I found out that this Virginia Reel and these little schottisches and things were a great deal of fun, and I took part in every one of them. When I went out to Burnt Ridge, that's what they did. And these folk dances.
Mm-hmm.
Folk dances.
There was a distinction between the folk dance and reel dancing.
That's right.
And so where they didn't approve of reel dancing, they could still get away with Virginia Reel and
that's right. That was
Skip to
that was a game. That was a rhythm.
What made it different?
I wouldn't know. But I don't think even my dad was supposed to that, because mm-hmm. I was told him about it, and I remember he had no objection. Of course, I was out on my own by then, so maybe he figured that was all right. But we had been brought up, we didn't even drink coffee or tea or anything until we were of age. You know, mm-hmm. we just were...
He was rather strict. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Thought nothing of it. That was just one of those things. But I don't know. I think it was all right, because when I think about one of the schools where I taught, and they said that woman had been raised and she had never had a chance to dance or anything, and after she got married and got there and got started, why, she just went crazy over it. And she was crazy because she left her family and everything else at home, little children, so she could go out and dance.
Oh.
And I said, if it affects them like that, I was thankful for my upbringing. Didn't make me go wild.
Yeah.
Like that. It was fun. Anything that, as long as it was just fun, that was fine. But nothing in the professional order, when they made business of it, that was beyond me. But we did enjoy Rook, Pip, Flinch, and those kind of games like that, I know.
You were telling me about this one little dialogue, I guess you
call
it. Oh,
yes. Yeah, they had one of the things that they quite often had was at their literaries. They'd go at it and have a court trial, and they would catch one of the important people in the neighborhood, probably, would be able to take a joke and was make a good fool guy, I guess you'd call it, and they'd arrest him for some silly thing, and then they'd get their lawyers up and have their witnesses and hold a regular trial, and that almost went over big. It was just loads of fun. I remember they were doing that, and they had different trials.
Would you like to read that one and put it on the tape? Because it is
I
cute.
I hope it's all here. Anyways, yeah, this, it is fun. I thought this was fun. This is one of the schools. This was in 1925. And Mr. Flieger was in the community. He was one of the, I think he might have been on the school board, I'm not sure. But anyway, he had been arrested for stealing a melon. And these were some of the questions that were asked the witnesses that there to see. Is it a fact that you raised watermelons in your tomato patch in February 1925? Yes. How did it happen that you chose that season of the year to plant them? From a careful study of the moon, I reasoned that 1925 would be an off year, so I reckon things should be done in an off way. And your reasoning proved correct? Yes. Tell in your own way why you chose to grow them in your tomato patch. Well, we all know melons growing in a field are seldom very safe property, but I figured that the family could watch over them in the daytime, and anyone traveling about at night would be more interested in love apples than melons, so planted the melons in the center of the love apple patch. But you did not find this a complete safeguard? No. And that someone lifted more or less of your choicest melons on the night of February 29th, 1925? Yes. When did you notice your loss? Early the next day. How did you happen to suspect Mr. Flieger of the theft? Well, there were two or three strong signs pointing that way. What signs did you see? Well, I naturally looked about for tracks, so to speak, and noticed some man-sized that looked mighty familiar. In fact, identical to some Mr. Flieger had made a couple of days before in my barnyard. What other sign did you see? In the center of the patch, I found a glove. Is this the glove? Yes. How do you know it is Mr. Flieger's? By the red paint like a cross on the back. Where had you seen it before? Mr. Flieger wore a pair up to my place 2 days before, and I noticed the paint on the right-hand glove. Had you any other reason for suspecting Mr. Flieger? I have known Mr. Flieger for a long time, and his taste for melons is as keen as most fellows is for moonshine. Did you at any time give or sell Mr. Fleeger any of your melons?
No.
Were you at home? Now, this is for another one, probably. Were you at home the evening of February 29th, 1925?
Yes.
Were the rest of the family at home all evening? Pa was out somewhere. Did he say where he was going?
No.
Do you know what time he got home?
No. I went to bed at 10 and he hadn't come home then.
Where do you sleep?
With Dad.
Did you sleep sound all night?
No.
Pa got to talking in his sleep and woke me up.
Did you understand anything he said?
Once he said I thumped it and it sounded right.
Did your father wake up?
Yes, he woke up awful sick.
What seemed to be the matter?
It seemed like a bad case of the colic to me.
Did you call in the doctor?
Yes, Dr. Bunk of Howell came and pumped him out.
Did you ever see this glove?
Pa has been wearing a pair with red paint on the back just like that.
Has he been wearing them lately?
I heard him storming around a week or so ago because he couldn't find one of them. This is a question to someone else. Were you at home on the evening of February 29th, 1925?
I'm seldom anywhere else.
Did you have any company that eve?
Why didn't you come and see? There's always room for one more.
Yes? Please answer yes or no.
Yes, ma'am.
Did Mr. T call on you that evening?
He might not want me to answer, seeing as how another special friend of his is present.
How early in the evening did Mr. T arrive at your home?
In time to wipe the supper dishes.
Did you spend the whole evening at the house?
We went to drive, if you must know.
Where did you go?
Toward Moscow is all I will say.
Did you come back past Mr. Wallen's?
Yes.
Did you see anyone there or on the road?
We saw Mr. Fleeger crawling through Mr. Wallen's fence with a watermelon under each arm.
Will you swear it was Mr. Fleeger?
Ladies, don't swear.
Answer, yes or no.
Yes or no.
What time was this?
10:30.
How did you know the time?
By the moon.
And he said, the witness is yours.
Where did you get the right to give me away?
She turns to the other lawyer. Now that he has got mad and quit, have you anything to say?
Dr. Bunk of Howell will testify that he was called to the home of Mr. Fleeger sometime after 11 on the night of February 29th, 1925, to treat Mr. Fleeger for an acute attack of indigestion. Used a stomach pump and found the trouble caused by eating watermelon.
And they wrote these themselves, huh?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there was an item put on the side here that I maybe overlooked here. Said, did your father bring you any melons or bring any melons home on the evening of February 29th?
No, not in sight.
Ah. And then I imagine...
But he didn't have it in sight, so yeah. To be seen.
February 29th must be a special day, too, huh?
Yeah, I think it must have been... I doubt there was a 29th in 1925.
Well, that could be. Plus a watermelon grind in the snow.
And a tomato patch in the snow in the winter. But anyway, that's a sample of the dialogues. And they usually worked them up themselves.
Mm. Now, would this have been done by the kids or by older people?
No, this was done by the grown people. These literaries were put on by the adults in the neighborhood. Oh. Not the kids.
And then if there was a school program, they would have done their own, though.
Yeah, they would have had their own. But theirs would probably have been memory work. Pieces. They were handed out pieces to them to learn. Or they'd have little dialogues. I know the dialogues were quite fashionable. Mm. The kids, they put on. And such a stew. They were always so afraid. They'd forget their part and come in at the wrong time. And they had to have little costumes, too. I remember dressing up just like some of them do now. Mm-hmm. Old fashioned.
But this is all centered around the school.
Yes.
The literary and the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the school was the focal point in the community. Quite a bit depended on the teacher. If she was a good mixer to gather them together, too. I know that seemed like that was part and parcel of the...
school teacher was the idea, not only the school but the community. She was kind of the social leader in the community, so quite a bit depended on the teacher, I felt.
I remember you were telling me about Christmas Eve when you were teaching at one of the schools.
Oh yeah, one school. I remember that one. That was when I was teaching, and I was such a homebody, and we always made such a lot of Christmas, and we liked to be home Christmas Eve, just to be there early Christmas morning to open our gifts. And this particular school, I had planned to have my program a night before, just to have the program over with so I could go, and the community wouldn't, the women in the community, the people in the community were accustomed to having their program on Christmas Eve, and they became quite disturbed when they found out that I didn't want to have it on Christmas Eve. And you can guess who gave in. I did.
Yeah.
Not because I wanted to, but it was a case of diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived through it too.
Yeah.
We had a good program.
Yeah. Oh, was it? So the Christmas program was something extra special?
Oh, yes. Mm, you always did a lot. That was quite one of the special events. And that community especially seemed like that was the big event of the year, was their Christmas program. I don't remember particularly if any of the adults took part, if the school had to.
Consolidation and what that meant to the people, and then what took over afterwards.
Yeah, that was quite a sore spot with a lot of them, because they didn't like the thought of giving up their school, and I think they really fought it quite a while. They discussed it pro and con, and they hated to give up their school for various reasons, because. And probably even at that, they didn't realize just how much was involved when they did cooperate and let their school go. And then they realized what it had done to their community as far as their social life was concerned. It took them a while to overcome that handicap, so as to get things to going again, which I suppose it never was quite the same, never would be, couldn't be, because they had no control over the children weren't in on the community like they were, because their interests then were taken to town, and they were, their time was taken up with town activities and town programs and this and that, trying to draw the communities into town. They figured in time, if the children were there and the activities were there and the social life was there, the communities would come in. Well, some of the communities did pretty well, I think, but a lot of them were used to their independence and their way, and they didn't feel like they fitted in with the town folks. So they just didn't have any social life for quite a while, till they kind of got their backs up, you might say, and decided to start up something themselves in their own community. I don't know, I think maybe some of them didn't feel at home in the when they went down, because they were outsiders, really. And I don't know what they were made to feel, they were outsiders. Their interests weren't the same as those in town. Just like the town, the country kids, when we went to high school, I remember definitely, we never felt at home in town. I never did. Just didn't fit in, because their activities and their interests weren't the same. That's what I was used to, and I guess it would have been the same with the adults. They just weren't interested in the things that the town people were interested in. So, anyway, it was quite a sore spot when they finally did go in and cooperate and consolidate.
Do you remember specifically out in your area what some of the arguments were against consolidation before they consolidated?
Well,
was it strictly economics, or
I,
or did they foresee this?
They just didn't like, they were supposed to be independent. They got along pretty well just the way they were, and they hated to be told by somebody else that they had to do something. Mm-hmm. They didn't like to be told. They were used to carrying on. They thought they were doing pretty well on their own. And they, too, I think they felt that if they let their children go, they'd lose something, which I feel they did by letting their children mix with these other kids. I'm not sure what they lost more than they gained in some ways, to begin with, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever any choice as to which town they would go to out in Big Meadow? Did they ever consider
not particularly.
Deary, or it was just Troy?
They just would have to go to the closest one. Mm-hmm. Like the communities around here would have to go to Troy, and the communities around Moscow would have to go to Moscow, like that. Mm-hmm. Within a certain area, I suppose they did, but meanwhile, of course, they had made the laws and the money was like that, and you either did it or you wouldn't get any money. You couldn't run without money.
Was this from the state level?
Mm-hmm. I guess. And of course, I think partially, that was it. They just didn't like to give up their independence, give up their school, and I would set that schoolhouse and the bell you would hear no more. That was one of the pleasant things about the schools in those days. They always had the school bell ringing. No school bells now. No more. Nowhere. And I don't know. Then after they had really consolidated, and then they realized too, even more so, that it had affected their social life as a community too. Quite a bit. And it was kind of a bitter pill to take, I think. Some communities really looked forward to it, and they thought it was wonderful. I don't know if they still thought so after it had done, but I remember there was quite a bit of opposition in the Far Home community. They didn't fancy it too much. I don't know if there was too much. There wasn't really much that you could say, because it was just one of those things you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't like it. But when you're put over a barrel, why, you just, if you can't help it, you just endure it, I guess. Well, I suppose, I don't know. If they'd be honest now, it's been so many years now, though, I don't suppose they think about it too much. Just like the Adventist school out there, when they had to give up having it there and move to Moscow. There was that same feeling again, that mm-hmm. it would take from this community, which it did, and they'd have to go to Moscow, which a lot of them didn't.
Mm.
The kids went, but the community as a whole, when they had their social doings, they didn't go.
Mm.
Kind of like the home stamping ground best.
Yeah. Well, what were some of the organizations and things that came in and filled this missing?
Well, I think quite a number of the communities, after they sat doing nothing for a while, it was, as I think back, it seemed to me like they still carried on their literaries to a certain extent for a while. They, as a community, and then the Grange. Many of the schoolhouses were turned into the granges of the community, and they had the Grangers took over, and they had their Grange doings there. That kind of held the community together, gave them something to do. As they were farmers, and the Grange was for farmers, their interest was farming, and so I think it served a purpose.
But in most places, you didn't have one religion or something, one church to hold everybody together.
Not that I know of. There were no church one would hold, I don't think. Not particularly, not as a group like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they, of course, they had what they call clubs. They had the Light Burnt Ridge, the Friendly Friday Club, and the Driscoll Ridge was the Bethel Club, and the Big Meadow was the Big Meadow Club, and they had this Dry Creek Welfare Club, and each community had a club, and they met once a month.
Kind of an outgrowth of the literary, then.
Hmm?
an outgrowth of the literary sort of...
Or a ladies' aid sort of. It was mainly then it was the women that had the clubs. The men were out, except when they'd have the annually or twice annually, or they'd have a family gathering, maybe at Christmas, or in the summer they'd have a family picnic, and all the family would get in on that. Otherwise, the women would meet once a month, and at homes they'd entertain, and they'd have a little program, and probably plan sew quilts or something in that order. And they seemed to, it filled a place there, and it held a community together as a social life, I think. I think they rather enjoy their little clubs around here and there, and still have them.
They seem to.
And that was an outgrowth of the picking up the pieces after the community had been kind of torn apart, and then they gathered themselves together.
You were talking about your mother and all the various things that she did, and then you mentioned quilting. It made me wonder, did she quilt and do fancy work or anything like this that she taught you, your sisters?
Well, there again, when I think of a lot of the people, I was just thinking today about how she had a group of the girls in the community come in, like a 4-H club or something like that, and she taught them sewing, I think it was, various things like that. They came there to her house, and she even had that with all her other activities. And there again, I marvel. I do. That she could. And she took part in the community gatherings when they had them. And in a way, she was... I wouldn't say she was a leader, but she and this other lady friend, this lady that she and the two of them were such friends, this I don't want to put on tape. Well, in the community where we were, quite a number of the neighbors were more of a hand to have their own entertainment, or not much of a hand to go ahead and work up a community doings. But there was one lady in the community, Mrs. Fogelstrom, that lived there for years, and she and my mother, I know, were such good friends, and they'd plan to have community gatherings, and Mrs. Fogelstrom was a real good hand at gathering up or having plans for picnics and one thing and another like that. She'd go ahead and plan them, and then everybody would follow along in with it. And I remember we often said that we wondered what the community would do without Mrs. Fogelstrom's leading and guiding and prodding a little bit to have some entertainment going.
Keep everybody mixing in.
Keep everybody mixed in and working together. Of course, there's usually somebody in the community that perhaps wasn't as well liked or didn't get along too well, but even a community has a way of either shouldering them out or taking them in or covering them up so they don't shine out too bad one way or another, even if they were a sore spot.
Yet these literaries and school programs and things where the whole community was supposed to partake, you mentioned before some Norwegian bachelors, and did bachelor gentlemen join in on all this?
Oh yes, they were right there. They came like the basket socials. The old bachelors were there too. Yeah, they, as far as I can remember, everybody in the community would turn out for these literaries. They'd have a pie social or a basket social. They were right there. That was a good time to get a good feed.
What's a pie social?
A pie social. Well, everybody made a... All the women were supposed to bring a pie. And they put it up and auctioned it. And the highest bidder would get the pie.
The lady to go with it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Eat the pie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there again, if they'd have two or three of them would have a pie, and maybe some of them didn't want to just eat with the one person they got. Mm-hmm. Why, then the two or three couples would gather together and they'd divide up their pies.
Oh.
Eat together. So some of them were kind of bashful and they didn't want to just eat with one person.
Oh.
They didn't want to make it appear, I guess, that they were seeing that one person more than anyone else or something. Or they were a little bashful on it. So then they'd just pull around and turn the seats so they could sit there and they could eat together.
Mm.
It worked out pretty well. Especially if one came in by someone that they knew that they didn't like the pie and they got it anyway, then they'd want to be sure to divide up so to get a hold of a pie they like.
Oh, wow. Yeah. As well as the party that went with the pie that
yeah.
they liked.
Too true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the same with the baskets. It was quite remarkable what a fancy basket someone would make. And how anxious we'd sit there and watch, who's going to get my basket? I wonder. And we'd just practically chew our fingernails, worrying for fear so-and-so would get it, or so-and-so wouldn't get it, or depending on how our interest was.
Yeah. How old were you when you started making your own basket for a basket social, when you weren't part of the family anymore?
It must have been, I suppose I was going, would have been when I was in high school age. Later teenage.
Mm-hmm. So you had a formal coming out party, but I just wondered if there was a certain time in life when girls were expected to start husband hunting or something.
Well, it was, I'm sure I don't recall having made a basket before middle teens at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that we fix everything in the for the baskets and everybody'd take a basket.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I was through the 8th grade before I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Was it common from your school for all girls to go to high school? Or
did
they all go to high school?
Well, yes, I think they did.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I guess I told you before, one of the terrible things of being in a country school, we had to go to town to take our state exams to pass the 8th grade, and that was one of the horrors of life. And as I recall, I think boys and girls, all of them, went to high school. Oh, there might have been a few that didn't.
Mm-hmm. And then what did they do?
They farmed or went to the woods.
Mm. What about girls? What kind of employment could they find?
I was trying to think. I don't really remember. But after they, most of them, I think they must have gone to high school and then they fell heir to in the way of education.
Were there a lot of opportunities for girls outside of teaching?
Apparently not. I don't think I'd have been a teacher if it had been. Of course, finance is one reason why I went into teaching, because I can get into that quicker, start earning money. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, I think, went out and did housework. Quite a number.
Like a living maid type.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of them went out. And they had two, like Ed's sisters, they went cooked in the... They had regular cook shack, and they went around with the thrashing crews out and around. They cook in the cook shacks, and they went up to camps and waited on tables and things like that.
That's wrong.
And I know one of the things that I kind of wanted to do, but I was just couldn't get out, and some of them did. They went out and they followed. They went to the parks and worked in the national parks during the summer.
Girls did?
Mm-hmm.
And what did they
That's
do?
That's what I'd like to have done.
Hmm.
But I was too big a coward to make the effort. If somebody, I could have gone with somebody, that's what I thought would have been fun. And I know some of them did.
What did they do?
Oh, they went in, worked in the restaurants or in the gift shops.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. At the resort just, type.
Mm-hmm.
Not as lumberjacks or anything.
Oh, no.
No,
this was in the parks.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that would have been kind of fun. I kind of thought that would have been fun to have done taking in a park a summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I never did. Didn't have the courage to do it. And other than that, they did just like they do now, I guess, whatever they could get a hold of to do. A lot of them worked around home. That's what I did summers. I just worked at home because there was a lot to be done on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Such as?
Weeding and hoeing and canning, and we baked our own bread and had to wash on the, like this, washing and ironing and...
On the scrub board.
Mm-hmm. So there was plenty to do, and I just worked at home.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing for that, of course, except the chance to stay home. Plenty of food.
Yeah.
But I remember that that's what... And I'd just get through the summer in time to... Well, I'd go to summer school. Mm-hmm. I had to go to summer school every summer for about 3 or 4 summers. And when I was through that, why, then I stayed at home and worked, helped hay, milk cows. I was my father's right-hand man in the hay. Helped haul hay and load it.
Did you stay in dresses when you did this? Did you have work dresses, or did you wear pants like a man?
Dresses,
yeah.
Horrors.
Yeah. They didn't approve of ladies wearing pants, did
Apparently
they?
Apparently not. I don't recall ever having worn them. I might have put on overalls, my dad's overalls sometimes, but there I'd just be apt to get caught. And my feet get caught in the bottom of the pant leg, and it'd be just apt to fall down as it was otherwise. As far as owning any pants, I don't recall owning any pants.
Mm-hmm. Must be a lot of things that are different now for girls.
A lot of things. Mm-hmm. Bobbed hair, for one thing.
Oh.
We didn't cut our hair either. We had
long
hair.
Ever?
Not until... When did I have my hair cut first? I think it must have been after I was married. I don't even remember when I first got it cut.
How did women wear it then? They braided or on
stringy.
Buns or stringy?
Yeah, braids. Mm-hmm. Tried to pin it up, and it was stringy. Curled it with a curling iron.
Tried that once. I burnt my hair.
Mm-hmm. We did, too. That wasn't very satisfactory, but that's what we did.
And all the girls wore long hair.
I think so. Well, there was a few, probably. The gayer ones had theirs cut sooner than some of us slower ones, but... No, most of them, but they didn't wear it stringing down like they do now. They had it pinned up. No one went around with their hair stringing like they do now. Like one woman said, the way they wear their hair now, she said, looks like they're just ready to go to bed. That's where they belong. She didn't like it.
So how about the fellas? Did they have long hair or...
I don't recall that they had long hair. Mm-hmm. They didn't have mustaches and beards either.
I thought mustaches were in style then.
Not then. Not when I was growing up, they weren't. There was one Red Lindahl, they called him, and he had a long red mustache and bright red hair. He was lots of fun at a party, too, I remember.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We all liked him. He was real good. He was just lots of fun. There's quite a difference in different ones. And he was really quite a fun guy at a party. And some of the young people that I grew up with, they
after they got older, they, three of them drowned in one fell swoop one time.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the boys that were out there had gone to school with me out in Big Meadow, and they had a girlfriend from, where was she, Kendrick or Juliet or someplace. They went swimming and they dived. What did she start to go down? I believe she was the one. And one went out there to get her, and the other one dived in. They went across, and his apparently had a heart attack. He went under, and she drowned, and they all three drowned.
Is this in the Clearwater River?
Or? No, it wasn't a river. It was some lake down in that area, though, I think. I can't even remember where it was now. Anyway, that was a horror. Then one of the other boys was killed from the same family as one of them that drowns. Had a tree fall on him and killed him. Boy, that was some of the tragedies that happened. Of course, there's always, in any community, in any family, there's always one or two, you know, that a little bit gayer than the rest. I remember them. I suppose they probably appealed to us too, because they had a way of getting doing things that the rest of us couldn't do.
Yeah, you mean as teenagers?
Mm-hmm.
As teenagers.
Mm-hmm. They could get by the things that the rest of us couldn't do. Of course, they were a little older than I was too. There again, I guess that's why they made an impression on me. Sort of envied him a little bit, maybe, too, come to think about it. But there were a lot of young people in that community at the time. And when we first got going there, of course, they were all a little older than I was. So I wasn't in with that group until mm-hmm. later, and I still was one of the younger ones. And I always thought that was, I always hated that, because I kind of wanted to do what all the rest of them were doing, and I wasn't quite old enough to be taken in. I was one of the mm-hmm. kids.
Yes, one of those.
Rough.
Yeah.
But I think that's about all I think of.
Okay. I guess that's pretty good for today. I was thinking about something else. You were talking about your dad and how you helped him. You were his right-hand man.
Hmm?
You were your dad's right-hand man?
Yeah.
Did he ever have any hired help since he didn't have any sons?
He didn't have any sons. No, he didn't have any sons. I don't remember for... Oh, I suppose he probably did, because some of the work was too hard for me to do. Hmm. But I always helped in the hay, because I drive the team and load the... And I'd load on the wagon while he pitched on. Made it hard mm-hmm. for him, because he had to pitch on. But then we had a fork so we could pull it into the barn. And then I'd lead the horse on the hay fork. And
he'd
put the fork in the load. See, and I'd, at the other end of the barn, I'd have the horse. I'd lead the horse and pull it up into the barn. And of course, he'd have to go in the barn then and put it away, too. I did that until I got hay fever so bad I couldn't do the work anymore. Then I guess he must have had to have help then to do it.
So I wondered if you had anyone that lived there as hired mm-hmm. help,
mm-hmm.
or if it was trade with other farmers, or how they worked it.
I was trying to think who we had. I suppose it was some of the young fellows that were around there. I can't remember who we did. I think quite a bit of it was trade. You help me and I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
I know they did that with their grain. They'd come in and they'd trade back and forth like that. And when they'd go out, and he'd go, I remember his going down in the Rimrock down at Genesee, they'd go out harvesting. They'd take their team and wagon and go down and harvest wheel and harvest.
For the big farmers, you mean?
Mm-hmm. There's great big farms down there, and they'd go down there for days at a time.
Mm.
And I should have.
It was a way of making extra money?
Yeah.
Because they weren't trading work with the Genesee farmers.
Were getting money for that.
They were getting paid.
Mm-hmm. They hire a man and his team, you see, for that. So they make, I don't know how much they made. I have no recollection.
Probably paid them by the horses rather than by the people.
Probably. Oh, dear. Anyway, all of the guys, just about farmers, went down mm-hmm. there. If they had a team in Iraq, and they'd get through with theirs out here, their little deal out here, you see, or theirs wouldn't be ready yet. They'd get ready sooner down there in those places, and then they'd go down there.
Yeah.
Then they'd come back and do their own. They had a little thrashing machine. There was the Johnson brothers had a thrashing machine out there, and they went around in the community, and that was always to me, I always looked forward to that, because then they'd have a crew, you see, with a thrashing machine. They'd come in, and whoever they were thrashing for had to feed them. And they'd have to put on the... And, of course, the bigger farm they had, the more grain they had, the longer they stayed, the more food it took. And it was always a highlight to us kids. We thought it was fun, but it wasn't so much fun for mother.
Yeah.
She was always happy if they pulled in at the right time, so she'd get by with one meal.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, if they could stay for two or three, we thought that was lots more fun.
Wow. You liked watching the work or flirting with the fellas?
Well, they were all old guys.
Oh, yeah.
They were all old graybeards, but we thought it was fun to be around and watch them thrash.
You didn't have to help Mother cook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had to help take the lunch out. Mm-hmm. Of course, they always had lunch. I don't remember if they had lunch in the morning, too. But they always had lunch in the afternoon. And so we'd have to get it all ready and take it down to them. They'd sit down and eat their lunch. That was always a highlight. I don't know. Maybe it was because they had a little something extra, and we always got in on that, too. I don't know. But there was so much fun about it. But I still think it's fun to watch. It would be fun to go and watch a thrashing rig.
Mm-hmm.
There was quite a crew that would come with it, you see. Mm-hmm. And the farmers there again, the teamsters would trade work. They'd come in with their teams and bundle racks. And then my dad, when the machine moved, why he'd go to whoever had come to his place, why he'd go and take his team and bundle rack. And work for that guy.
What kind of harvest did your father have? What kind of?
Oats
and
wheat.
And wheat.
Mainly. I guess some of them had barley. My dad, it was oats and wheat.
And it was all for the cows? Was it all for the cows?
Mm-hmm. Cows and horses. Mm-hmm. And if he had extra, well, he could sell it and get some money.
Mm.
And money was a good thing to have in those days, because it wasn't very much of it.
What other ways did he have of making money besides the working in Genesee and a little bit extra crops?
Well, I think he had some wood he could make. I don't know for sure about on my home place if they had cordwood, but some of them, like on Ed's place up there, they made cordwood, and they hauled wood